Good morning. Let us direct the attention of our hearts, using God's help doing that, on his exhortation to us regarding the spiritual identity he has given to us. We read today 1 Peter 2, verse 19. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. People sometimes struggle with having a good sense of who they are. They have what's called an identity crisis, which I suppose could happen to us if we fixate on things that appeal to human nature, or we try to compete with each other for some kind of supremacy, or we measure our value in worldly terms. We won't be satisfied with the results based on physical appearance, how much hair I have, how much popularity you have among your peers, or athletic ability, or the things we own, the quality of our house, the money to be made at a job or a career. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. We can be quite satisfied with the identity that God has given us. It's spiritual in nature, it's eternal in value, it's based on faith, and it's at the same level for everyone involved. We are, after all, equally loved by the God who loves perfectly. None of us gets to say exclusively, I'm God's favorite, since we're all God's favorites. Equally claimed and treated as his dear children, equally valuable to him. And this is proven by the fact that he sacrificed his dear son for every single one of us. Let's hear it again. Our valuable, very valuable identity in Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A chosen generation, the Bible says about us. From experience, I think most of us know what it's like to be chosen and what it's like not to be chosen. The recent musical trials come to mind as an example of that. Normally, a person is chosen for something based on performance, experience, qualifications, meeting whatever the standard is. When was the last time you were chosen for something you did not deserve? It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen for every believer in Christ. God chose us, even though we deserve his rejection. God chose you to become his believing followers, even though you and I entered this world with a heart dead set against him, wanting nothing to do with him. God made that choice before we came into existence, before the world was based entirely on Jesus, a complete act of his grace. God made his choice of you and me with a purpose in mind, a result in which he sets his sights on you, works faith in you, and keeps that faith alive in your hearts. Think of it. God has changed your identity to a drastic, amazing turnaround, a 180 U-turn like no other. No longer are we so thoroughly stained with sin that God has to walk away in disgust. Oh no. Covered with Christ, we are the opposite. Thoroughly acceptable to him, spotless in fact. No longer are we strangers to him, enemies of him. No, we are adopted children placed into the family under His constant care. No longer are we trapped in a fear of death and judgment, because we have God's plan for us, a plan of eternal life that He carries out for us. No longer are we to wander aimlessly in the dark of spiritual ignorance, because we have that well-lit path in the light of His love and His Word. Now, with this change of identity does come a change in the way we think and act as believers, in the way we set our priorities with a new perspective guided by His Word, and yes, the way we treat each other as fellow Christians, but especially the way we treat the Lord Himself. Paul put it this way, that we are to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. Peter, in the text, zeroes down on one main thing, God's people, you and me, that we proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There is no question that God deserves constant praise. Once He wins you over with the realization of what He's done for you in Christ, you'll do more than agree. You'll join in singing His praises in worship, in choir, speaking His praises in your prayers, and also sharing those same praises by telling somebody else, someone who doesn't know, what Jesus means to you and what He's done for that person. Are we just a little bit of ways away from our own identity crisis? Are we confused about or unsatisfied with who we are? It doesn't have to be that way. Not if we remember and share with each other the great value of our spiritual identity. Let that identity you have as God's redeemed child and heir be the strong wind to lift up your spirits when they're down. Let that same identity be your confidence and strengthen it to face what's in front of you, to get through that with God's blessing and guidance, and also propel you to talk about your Savior to people who need to hear it. You belong to God as the direct result of the Savior's sacrifice. You have blood-bought souls. Your value and identification can't get any better than that. You have hit the summit, and God lets you and me stay there. Praise be to Him, the one who is our perfect Father in heaven, our victorious Savior, and the Spirit sent to us to guide our hearts and lives. Amen. We sing such praise to God in hymn 391, all stanzas, 391.